Come on in, come on in. Afterthought Podcast. You know what day it is. It's Wednesday. We live on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook Live, and YouTube Live.
Yes, sir.
I can only give y'all like 20 seconds to Facebook and everybody come for me. Hey. Come on in. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I'm gonna give you a bonus. I'm gonna give y'all a bonus since y'all here early. Come on. I give you a bonus right now. Let's get it. I got my guy JP in the building. I see you. He's here. Oh, there he goes. New York is here. Bitch, on my side of some movie. Blue cheese. I swear I'm addicted to blue cheese. I gotta speak your sleep like hungry. Bitch, I'm on my chicken like a chicken. Alright. Just had to heat it up real quick. You know what I'm saying? Come on in.
It's real windy. Real quick.
You see us in here. You know, it's we normally have our third and crew in chief, Miss Tiff Tonto, but she's not joining us tonight. She's here with us in spirit. You are tuning into that for a podcast with your man Joe Hill. And my guy JP is here. You see us. It's a Super Bowl week, so you know the champions is here. You know what I'm saying? I got the Eli.
And you know it's national carrot cake day, so you know what it is.
It's national carrot cake
real heavy. For real.
Okay.
We're gonna talk about that real quick, man. We get some good love today for National Carrot Cake Day, man. A lot of love, that, man.
We're gonna have a guest on later to talk more about that and how we can get some more business.
We'll see, Joe.
No problem. But as you see right now, if you're tuning in, yes,
I like Eli, though.
I got on the Eli. I had to get somebody out of the closet that can actually beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I spun the Rolodex and I said, hey, we're gonna go with the Eli.
Let me tell the people real quick though. Yeah, Joe's jersey, his jersey closet is like the cleaners. You know how when they try to press the button and they gotta go look for your name, try to find your ticket, and it'd be all like a whole Six Flags ride up, down,
that's
all around.
That's
Joe jersey catalog.
I will say this for the jersey fans, you know, I just always had a thing for jerseys, whether it's wearing them, collecting them. And I think as I get older, you know, I'm still going to have them, but you might not see them as much, only special occasions. So this is a special occasion. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got the Knicks fresh. And you know what's dope about that black fit? A lot of people don't get that fit. I always see people with the blue joint or with the black brim or the blue hat. You got the fresh New York Knickerbocker. Hat on right now. Shout out to you, my brother, for repping the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know, hopefully they get a win tonight against Chicago. They played themselves on Monday, but we'll see.
I mean, here's the thing with the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Since Tiff's not here, we can do a little.
Yeah, we can do a little bit.
Shout out to everybody, Drew, Marco. Appreciate you, everybody tuned in on Instagram.
Yes,
everybody.
Sir.
Sports is getting interesting right now.
It is.
You know, my team is still Phoenix. We got a game tonight, you know. I'm a Knicks diehard, but, you know, I've been rooting for Phoenix this year with the upgrades. And, you know, the
they
Lakers
look
are
good, man.
They do. They look okay. They look okay.
Nah, they look good, Joe. I'm telling you. In the West, to bring someone like Chris Paul in, make that mix, that transition, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
I see RJ Barrett is balling tonight.
He's doing
running the stats tonight on the Bulls right now. Knicks pretty much got that one in the bag. I mean, how you feel about Brooklyn? I know we got to do it every week. We got to check in on Brooklyn. How you feeling about Brooklyn? It's like a staple of the goddamn show.
They look good.
That's all you gonna say? That's the only type of.
They look good. They can't play enough team defense yet. They look good, and I just think that comes with time.
Right.
What people don't realize when you play the game, and that's why I'm like, I'm not even tripping on it too much.
Right.
They play up and down to their competition, because you saw that in a bad loss against Cleveland.
Facts.
But then they play up and a bad loss at the end of the game to Washington. That was horrible. Horrible turnover. Yeah. Westbrook with the three. But look, they played
it last night. Go ahead.
But they played the Clippers and they finished. it's two things when you have a lot of new pieces or when you have a young team that comes together, regardless of their age, when people come together, they have to learn everybody's spots.
Right.
Where everyone likes the ball. Coaches need to figure out in-game situations, how you want to do things. Because I may have a good play, but if this mismatch is available, what do I go to? Do I trust the play more or attack the mismatch? So I just think they all just filling it out right now. So as they fill it out, they'll be fine. They'll like you see already James Harden facilitating a lot more, getting triple double.
He's a good passer. I don't think people give him enough credit for being a better. Yes.
He's leading the league in assists. He got over 11 a game. But that's also a little misleading too, because he's also passing it to people who can shoot the heck out the ball. I can get it if I'm throwing it to KD, if I'm throwing it to Kyrie, or if the double comes, I got Joe Harris wide open in the corner or at the wing. Or on the pick and roll, I just throw it up top to DeAndre and he just catching a couple lobs.
You started by saying it was good. Now you're giving a full breakdown of the strengths and weaknesses. I'm just saying, are you a Brooklyn Nets fan? What's happening right here?
Not even. I'm just calling how I see it.
I'm messing with you.
It's going to be fine.
Super Bowl is this Sunday. I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be on the West Coast. I got, first of all, you know who I got. Tampa Bay all day. My cousin Jordan Whitehead, starting safety for the Bucks.
Yeah.
That's not like a play cousin.
Joe has a personal interest in the game.
That's family. So he's playing well. The Bucks are playing well. And that's who I'm going for. Sadly to say, I'll be rooting for Tom Brady. Going for his 7th Super Bowl. But that's not what I'll be watching for in particular. I'm a fan of the commercials. The Super Bowl commercials is a good time. You're going to see some hilarity. You're going to see some comedic guest appearances in these commercials. And I'm excited to see those expenses.
Is it going to be different, though? Yeah, with COVID and everything that's happened. Are you think corporations are going to spend the big money? I don't know if you're going to get the
even more. $1 million because everybody's going to be home. Everybody's going to be watching that.
I read something that said Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch is taking their money that they would have used for the Budweiser commercials to donate towards relief to help different communities during the pandemic. They'll have a Bud Light commercial, but they said that budget that they had, they're not going to use to invest in the commercial. So I wonder what other corporations are going to do, because it's also, as much as you can work and move, it's going to be hard to do the over-the-top commercials, because those are big budgets. Big people, everyone got to get tested. It's gonna be a lot of variables.
What did you hear about what's going on in New York City? Shout out to everybody on the Facebook, on the Instagram, everybody tapping in on the Twitter and in the YouTube live. Did you hear about MTA? They're getting voiceovers on the MTA subways.
Yeah,
did you hear about that? That's right. You could be heading uptown, not to Yonkers, but you could be heading to the Bronx and hear Jadakiss. Do me a favor, make sure you get your COVID test. Like, how fire would that be? You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
Yeah. Especially for the culture, too. Different voices and different people tapping in. I think it's dope. I think that's a dope way to give back. Some people like, word? I'm like, yo, that's fire right there. We got a dope segment that, you know, I wanted to start off with tonight before we get into our first guest, Shawnee Wallace, coming on later, who's a dope professor. She's a publicist. She's got a lot of insight in the game. She does it all, and she's gonna be with us in a little bit. Then we got my guy Willie Crow, comedian, extraordinaire actor, funny dude. I got to kick it with him out in Colorado Springs, and we shot a skit also, and we got to work together. So he gonna be on later. He gonna hit us with the hot five. Get y'all them live laughs. We getting
I'm excited for that.
Me
I'm
too,
excited
man.
For that.
Funny brother, man. I saw him doing. You know, we were doing a check-in. I said, nigga, you need your Visine. We can't be on TV. Get your Visine. But yeah, that's what it is. We got an amazing show. I was watching, you know, Netflix is heavy still. I don't know what you switch over to.
Yeah. I got something.
I watched the crack. Did you watch the crack epidemic? It was a documentary.
Yes, I did watch that documentary.
Listen. You know how real crack was in the 80s? I talk about it on stage, about it being one of the realest eras, the crack.
Yeah.
But imagine if I can paint a picture, not even trying to be funny, but imagine, you know, the traffic on FDR on the afternoon. Imagine that on the regular in the 80s, but that's the line to come get crack. That's all I'm saying. That's like, that's how the government turned a blind eye. When I say the government, people, Ronald Reagan and on. Yeah.
People don't realize that, like, that was a thing until literally like maybe like 94, yeah. Maybe 95.
Until Clinton came in.
Yeah, it was crazy out here in these city streets, bro. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'ma steal a little Golden Girls reference. You know, shout to my right. Girl Sophia. Picture it, mm-hmm. New York City, mm-hmm. 1991, 92. We just get our first black mayor. Everybody's been coming off of all of the highs of the 80s. The Mets winning mm-hmm. World Series, doing a bunch of dope and lines. The Knicks are starting to get good again. The energy between the Bulls and the Knicks That's is right. there.
That's a fact.
You know, the city's popping.
Just we just not about
getting into metro cards, yeah. But it was still a real thing out here. Like, we were in playgrounds that had different color tops because
oh yeah,
dealers and junkies was out here
yeah
messed up.
That's what I'm saying. Like I know struggle. The pandemic isn't struggle. I come from the 80s. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fidgety people walking up and down my block in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Hands in your pocket, you're shivering and shit. You know what I'm saying? That's that cocaine. You know what I'm saying? That's that crack and cocaine. You know what I'm saying? So
big time.
It was a good time. But what you was watching? What you watching on Netflix?
Oh, right? What I was watching was Lupin.
Oh. Here we go with the bullshit. The reason I say the bullshit, my brother was just watching. I don't like any movie I gotta read, if you feel me. It's just basically what I'm saying. I don't like movies like I'm already high, I'm already doing shit. I ain't trying to read no dialogue at the bottom of the screen. I don't even want to read this
shit. Well, they have it in English. They
had the English. I know. With but yeah, tell the people about it, because I know you watched it. I know it's fire.
Yeah, you know, we gotta support black artists.
Definitely.
It's a dope story about, like, without giving too much away, this man, he kind of has, like, different roles. Like, he lost his father at a young age. They claimed he committed suicide, but he used to work for a very rich man.
Okay.
In Paris. And, you know, his family grew up on the other side of Paris in the hood.
Yeah.
And he was able to, like, so he was an orphan young. And he just found a way to start mastering different disguises. Hustling.
He's real James Bond with it, too. I was watching it while I was doing it.
But hustling more so to try to find a way to navigate to how to live the best life he can.
Right.
He's also a father. So it's like, he's like a struggling father trying to make it, but also out here trying to avenge the yeah. real cause of his father's death.
It's super relatable though. Cause when you said, yeah, you know, my father, he's a hustler.
Yeah. Motherfucker's
ready to get behind a winner already. You know?
You root for him, even mm-hmm. though it's like he's kind of involved in some shady shit.
Right.
And it's like, he's scamming a little, hustling a little,
scamming.
Doing different things. He's
definitely scamming.
But it's with the intention to avenge a death and to help
oh, yeah.
provide a better life for his family. So
what is it called again? It's called Lupin.
Lupin.
On Netflix.
Lupin right? on Netflix. L-U-P-I-N. So,
We got Miss Wallace in the building. Professor. Yeah. PhD. We're going to bring her in a minute. You know, we got a dope guest coming on. I'm going to have Jay, you know, Jay got the best intro for her. You know, we got to do something special for our queens that's coming on and that kick it with us and chop it up about not only just about life. You know, she authored something in the book, a chapter in a book called Demystified. Matter of fact, let me get it right. Let me not demystifying the big house, exploring prison, the prison experience. And media representation. I feel like I definitely got some questions for her in terms of that, because I think we all
those are extremely important.
Of course.
And you know, forget just being Black History Month and we look back at where we've come from. Mm-hmm. We also have to understand where we are and certain things that got us to this point so that we can be better off as continue to move forward and pay it forward. So I think she's the perfect person that has the good balance to talk about those things. Mm-hmm. She's a hip hop junkie, like junkie, bro. Like she knows her music inside. Like,
don't put me on the spot. Don't do that to me right now.
We know her music inside and out. I know G would appreciate this. Shout out to the super producer, you know. Yeah. Like, and so I'm happy.
You might as well bring her in right now. She's ready. She's happy. Let's do it right now. Let's do it.
Not only a dear friend, family friend, someone who I admire and respect for so long, someone who I feel has a gift to share with the world. You know, some call her Professor, some call her Miss, some call her S Dot. I call her Doc because she got those letters behind her name for a reason. Mm-hmm. I want to introduce the phenomenal, talented, brilliant, gifted, beautiful Costa Rican Dr. Shanae Wallace. What up, Doc?
Hey. Welcome. Hello.
Let's go. Let's go. Yo. Let's go. Give it up.
Come on. Come through, Queen.
I got hype when you said Costa Rican. It was that part.
See? Yeah, you know,
all that other stuff was great. Well, I'm with that Costa Rican part. That's the part that I was like,
yeah,
okay.
We gotta hold it down.
How you feeling?
Yeah, so y'all gotta forgive me because I moved recently, and so it looks like that. So just please forgive me. But
do you see everybody background?
I was gonna say, sis, your background. I've seen a lot of horrible backgrounds, and yours is A1 compared to a lot that we've seen.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Good. Yeah, I don't have the curtains up. I don't yet, but it's all good. I'll get it together. I'm gonna get it together. So how are y'all doing tonight?
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on.
No doubt.
First thing that I want you to share about yourself is a little bit about what got you, because not just talking about your PhD, you are a professor and you teach and you give back and you care about giving back. Like, what is it that got you into wanting to teach, give back, and why you value and think education is so important to you?
First of all, thank you for the question, favorite noob. Start there. Education is, we've all already heard the knowledge is power and all that stuff. But to me, I believe in traditional and non-traditional education, right? My parents are my greatest influencers. And they are Costa Rican immigrants. They came to the States and their goal was to just create a different life. I don't want to say better life, but a different life for their family. And they believed in education, at least traditional, but they themselves did not get that, you know, formal college education. So with that said, they instilled that in myself and my four sisters. There's five of us total. And yeah, look, they're all back there on the wall.
They all,
my parents, everybody's right there.
That's what's
and,
up.
Yeah, like, for me, I actually never thought that I would go into education. I don't think anyone that is a college professor, any of my peoples that are college professors, I don't think any of us when we were younger were like, I want to be a professor. Like, nobody really does that. So for me, I wanted to be a publicist, and that's actually how I, you know, got into this world and ultimately getting my master's degree. During that process is when I realized that, I had a light bulb went off and I was like, yo, I want to do this. It was through one of my professors that he just inspired me. And that was that, you know, but I was fascinated by how people can take what they know and interpret it, you know, and just interpret it to people and people, you can see people's passions just you know, and I love that. So that's pretty much how that came about. And yeah, I want to shout out my teacher too.
What is that?
Yes.
My question is, how has everything been with COVID and, you know, I'm an educator as well, and we've shifted from, you know, going to the building to remote now, and then now they're trying to get people back. So how has that affected, you know, your schooling and teaching and everything you've been doing?
First of all, shout out to anyone that is teaching K-12. Start there.
Shout out to them. Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole situation.
Yeah.
And the parents as well, because that's a, you know, again, nobody knew. We didn't know, right? We didn't know. And then, not for nothing, I was just talking to some of my colleagues today. Like, we still really don't know. So
right.
There's that part, right?
Right.
But
right.
For us, the college students, they are being affected immensely as well, you know? And a lot of people did not sign up for the online, you know, instruction. Mm-hmm. And it is not for everyone. Side note, it wasn't for me, you know? I had the opportunity to take one class when I was in school online, and I was like, I don't know about this. So I get that part. The way that I try, through God really, to bridge the gap, mm-hmm. is I really try to take the education off the table for a second in terms of the school course content. And I start my classes with, how are y'all doing? Like, how are y'all doing?
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometime I have this, just right quick, I have this one thing that I do where I call it a 10-minute exercise. I literally call it 10 minutes. And I just tell them to just write whatever's on your mind. And you can type it on your phone. I tell them, you type it on your phone, whatever you want to do. But after that 5 minutes of writing, then I give them the opportunity, do you want to share whatever it is? If not, you could delete it, rip it up, whatever. But I find that that exercise really works with a lot of my students because, you know, they're young, but they have a lot of stuff on their minds. And actually I have several, you know, the age range varies with my students. So that's pretty much how I try to handle it. And real talk, like, I pray. Like, God, I need you. Because people have situations where their parents are dying. Their family mm-hmm. members are dying. Like, I had a woman, her husband passed. Mm-hmm. Her husband passed in the middle of our semester. So it's kind of like, what do you say to that?
And we lost a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, this whole year, into this year. It's real.
Word.
So in terms of teaching and becoming a dope professor, mm-hmm. I wanna dive into this work that you did, you know, in this book, and I want you to talk more about it. Demystifying the Big House, exploring prison experience and media representations. And it's something I feel like we need to shed a light on, because there's a lot of people, I'm gonna be honest, that's still locked up and they're not even getting treated right, you know, through all this shit that's happening outside. Yep. So talk about your work and about, you know, about that side of it with everything going on.
Okay, so that project came about, and I don't want to sound like all like that project, but that came about because I that's my sister, that's why I said that. I used to be fascinated with the show, ready? Mob Wives.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, but here's why. It's not why you think. It's not necessarily why you think. I was fascinated by the show, not because of like all of the drama and stuff.
Right.
I was fascinated because the way my brain works, I've never seen a mob wife. You always saw the men in their lives, mm-hmm. and the depiction of their stories, right? The stories that you hear, all the mob movies and whatnot and shows and documentaries, they always follow the men. I'm curious about the women. Like, oh wow, we've never seen that before. So, and any type of story that you've never seen before interests me, because I believe that we all have a voice and it's valid. So when that project came about, I pitched it to the editor and I told her that I was interested in just learning more about that population of women. As I started to research, I found that a lot of those women, like in real life, didn't really, they weren't out there like that. So I expanded it to prison wives. So my chapter is about prison wives and the women behind the men that are incarcerated and their stories. And I was able to, just through some research work and things like that, I followed a series called The Prison Wives. And I talked to women that were prison wives and learning about their stories. And that's another thing too. A lot of people were like, oh, Wallace must be a prison wife because, and I was like, actually I'm not, but I respect women and women that are wives, that are partners, mm-hmm. significant others, that are holding their loved ones down, you know? And so just learning more about their story, their experiences gave me a whole, like, I just entered into a whole other world. And you see a lot of what we see out in the streets, right? Mm-hmm. The marginalization, the disrespect, the mm-hmm. racism, and you know, y'all know that.
Yeah.
So that was yeah. one yeah. of the most interesting pieces that I ever was a part of, because I was like, yo, the women in these stories are treated equal to the way their counterparts are. So that's
you know,
yeah.
That's how
very that true, be. Very true.
Yeah.
And to steal Joe's line about segues, I think mm-hmm. this is a good one, because when you talk about sharing stories and you talk about your experience and wanting to be a publicist. Yeah. Like, don't you can kind of see how those relate and how you're responsible in helping to explain or dictate a narrative for yeah. others, artists. And where was your passion for that? Where did that come from? And why did you have it? Or what about those experiences did you appreciate? Like,
right.
talk about that as well.
Yeah, that's a dope question, JP. So now that, I feel like I've lived, like, 20 lives and I'm still going. Thank you. Amen.
Exactly. So what happened?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I'm still here. So what happened was I went to Delaware State University, mm-hmm. right? And HBCU, for those of you that may not know. And my goal was to become a lawyer. So I wanted to become a counselor of the law. I talked a lot. I did a lot of the Matlock situation back in the day in the LA law. And I was like, yeah, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Did a few internships and I realized this wasn't for me. And that's right, shout out to the HBCUs. Hey. So, you know, did a few internships, realized it wasn't for me, but then I kind of put all my interests on the table and I realized I still wanted to be a counselor, but mm-hmm. now perhaps a counselor of public opinion. And so lawyers and PR people are actually very similar. We work together all the time. And
yeah.
I found that it was very rewarding to be able to be a catalyst in getting the client's message out there in an effective, efficient manner, communicate any messages that they wanted out there and really hold them down, have their back. However, you know, you want the client to be working with you.
Right.
In the same direction.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of, whenever I see things now, I'm just like, that's out there and little apologies and whatnot. Like the dude that said the N-word and said he was sorry, the country music dude. And I'm just like, that dude. And I'm just like, are you really sorry? Or are we really sorry? Or, you know, did your label.
Sorry,
there you go, JP. There you go. So with that, that's how that came about.
Yeah.
And I never looked back. You know, I remember I was in Delaware still at the time when I told this lady that was like a headhunter lady. And I said, you know, I want to go into the PR world. And she said, honey, where are you from? And I said, I'm from New York. She said, you got to go back home. I was like, that was it.
Maybe.
Came back home, got some dope gigs and worked for some really, really interesting and dope people. Had the opportunity to do some great work, travel the world and whatnot. And that led me to where I am today, teaching public relations courses and, you know, race and communication. And, you know, I love it.
I can tell you have a passion. Just how you talking, and I can tell it's the thing. And you found something that you really fell in love with. I could tell. Yeah. So what is next for you? That's my question always. I know you dibbling dabbling with the writing. You know, you're teaching. What's next? What you got coming up? What you working
everything,
on?
Everything. No, I'm just kidding. No, you know what, Joe? Honestly, I try to
believe you too.
Everything. I try to constantly reinvent myself. I don't. There is no, you know, one thing that we can quote unquote master, right? So with that said, I am in the process of writing my book, being your best representative, spiritually, personally, professionally, and spiritually, I'm sorry. And that I had to take a little bit of a backseat to that process because when COVID happened, I was like, whoa, I got to get my own self together, which which is a thing. And because, I mean, we haven't been in the house this long since we were like one.
Oh, okay. Grounded.
Okay.
All right. You need to be in the house for a month. Very you stay true. Your ass in that room.
Well, or I was not grounded like that. I was one of those good kids. No, I'm just kidding. Look, my mom's not watching. So no one knows I'm lying here. But yeah, so with that said, I'm working on that project, and there's some other things that I'm working on with my job, which I'm really, really happy. I work for CUNY, and I'm working on a project called Voices of the Unheard. And that we're doing, we're trying to have different panel discussions where we're bringing different people's stories again. Like, this is a common theme for me, and I love it. We're bringing different people's stories to light. And our first project is going to be Voices of the Unheard, the Afro-Latinx Experiences. And that's coming up soon, March 24th. But I just, I love it. You know, I love it.
Yeah.
And when you know why I love it, y'all? I'm sorry.
Film, taking that type of concept into creating, I don't know, maybe like some sort of web series or something. Maybe like something tangible in terms of like TV and film is what I'm going at. That's all.
You know what? Joe, I wouldn't be opposed to that because I've done projects before that I'm just like, yo, this shouldn't just be in a book, or this shouldn't just be, you know, on a stage. This could possibly be a thing that lives on, you know? So I'm not opposed to any of that. You know, again, I welcome opportunity. And low key, I'm a dancer. So my dream has always been to open a dance school for children and adults. That's always been my goal. And I've never abandoned that. COVID kind of put that on lock for a minute. But the goal for me ultimately down the road, because I know what that did for me. I was in dance school for over 10 years, I think, as a youngin. And so, yeah, I know what that did for me. And it's still one of my greatest passions. So, yeah, so that's that world too.
You know, something about what you said about wanting to allow other people's voices to be heard through telling your story. That's one thing we pride ourselves on doing here on The Afterthought, is making sure we have different voices being projected out that people can listen, hear from, and they can gain something from it, whether it's educational, entertainment-wise, you name it, social, spiritual. We try to make sure we cover all of that. I appreciate you. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you for doing that, because we don't always realize that even though we're trying to make it ourselves, I think we always have an obligation to pay it forward. And seeing you do that in multiple lenses is just amazing. So I just want to do your props for that, Doc, and tell you, like, we need that and you are appreciated. Now I have this question for you as we talk about, and it's Black History Month, and you talked about the different things that you wrote, different things that you're now having in your panel discussions. When we start hearing more voices, where do you think we need to focus some of our listening ears or some of our eyes to? What are the things, or whether it can be art, books, like what do you think we should start focusing on, or start, you know, something that would be a good read or a good listen mm-hmm. to help us get an understanding or appreciation for where we are, where we may be going, etc.
Yeah. That is a personal decision. That is whatever feeds your soul, whatever grounds you. And that, so that answer, JP, that varies for a variety of different people. I will always lean towards uplifting your people and whatever that means for you. I will always lean towards being on the right side of history. I will lean towards honoring and respecting yourself. Again, whatever that means for you, right? So I can't say what I think you should do, right? Because we're all human beings, we're all different. Yeah. And we all, you know, we are all at the table. Mm-hmm. So with that said, for me personally, it's about reading, diving into James Baldwin, you know, diving into being with my prayer warriors every day at 12 noon.
Right.
You know, doing things that I just genuinely, that feed me, right? And then that looks like I just said, reading James Baldwin, being with my prayer warriors, but then that's also my soca twerk out dance class, right, on Zoom, and working out with my trainer, Gianna, right? Mm-hmm. So these things, they vary for me, and it's all good. You know, my cousin was just telling me, why do you always big up Meg Thee Stallion? I'm like, because she's dope.
Now, with that said, because she's a stallion. How about that? Just because.
See, now, Joe, you like this. In terms of, and so, John Paul, I keep my ear to the street because, one, I'm once a publicist, always a publicist.
Right.
But then I also, you know, do what works for me. And so, whatever, and judge free zone too, because, you know, look, we all trying to survive up in here. So that's kind of how I do it. And that's kind of what I would recommend, but we all have to find what we need for ourselves. That's what I would recommend, you know.
Well, I appreciate you, you know what I'm saying? Before we get you out of here though, we like to leave some afterthoughts and always positivity, you know, because there's always gonna be a lot of people. And as a publicist, as a professor, as a queen, what are some of the stuff, you know, any advice or gems you want to leave with the folks right now, especially with everything's going on, that you could send us off on a nice positive, you know? Come on, I know you got some gems here.
Do I? All right. Well, I will say, for me again, be true to yourself. Understand that, you know, there's, your voice is valid, your feelings are valid. And you have to make sure and be honest and true to where you are with your life. And that's where, you know, a lot of people kind of get things wrong a little bit with following the social media thing. And again, me being a publicist, I know a lot of that stuff. I used to create a lot of that. So I know, you know, what that's about. And so being true to yourself, I will always say, if you believe in a higher power, if you believe in God, to understand that, you know, that's a foundation, that's a solid foundation. And with that said, just, you know, rock out, you know, rock out, like rock, do whatever, again, you know, safely.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want you to rock all the way out.
Yes.
But I mean, go ahead, Jay, get out of here, go ahead.
Yes, yeah. I know we got another special guest coming in, Doc, so stay tuned for that. And we get to talk this hip-hop talk real quick. So when you come back, we're going to have to talk this hip-hop talk, because I feel like there's another book out there that needs to be written that talks about the perspective of growing up in hip-hop in New York. Because when we came on the show, Joe and I, we were joking about, like, you know, still remembering the crack era, at least the early 90s. Yeah. And I'm someone who is as well aware of the culture. Like, when we say things like for the culture, like, sometimes people pretend like they really are down or they really know. Like, afterthought listeners, Doc really knows what she's talking about.
I'll give her this. Before you get out of here, give us your top five hip hop artists.
Thank you, Joe. Yes,
you gotta send you off the right way. No order. We gotta doesn't matter who it is, what generation. Give us Nick Wallace, the PhD. Give me your top five hip hop all time. Let's go. No
that's
pressure.
That's what we go.
No pressure. Okay, first and foremost, I'm gonna always say Big Daddy Kane because
okay. It is what it is.
So Big Daddy Kane, Karis One, Mos Def. Here's where it gets tricky because I love my newer people like Kendrick and Joey Badass-Mullen, but Grand Poobah. People be sleeping on Grand Poobah and they need to stop sleeping on Grand Poobah.
Yes.
And did I say Rakim?
No.
No, you did not.
Because I just listened to Juice yesterday and yeah, Rakim. That would be
Big Daddy Kane. KRS-One, Grand Poobah, yeah. Rakim. Did you leave one out?
Oh, I said Mos Def.
Oh, Mos Def.
Mos Def.
Okay. Mos Def.
Okay.
The Mighty Mos Def.
Yes.
And honorable mention, but not really, is Andre 3000.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Like, y'all, if we gotta have these conversations, we gotta really have them, y'all.
I think can we throw her five up there? Thank y'all. Throw her five up there. She said Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, Grand Poobah, Rakim, Mos Def, and Andre 3000. Yeah, I don't know if I can top that right now. That's a solid.
It's all good. It's all
right.
You might not be able to. It's
okay.
Don't do it now, Joe. We're gonna let that marinate. This is a great list. I thank you for coming through. I ain't seen no Fife, and we'll talk about that later.
That's my favorite group. Right?
Okay.
So that's another tribal quest. I am a Midnight Marauder, so that's my favorite group.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Follow Miss Wallace. S. Lanisha Wallace. That's right. Follow me.
Yeah, Lanisha ain't the name, but that's okay. That's not what my mama gave me. But you know.
Okay.
That's all right.
They took that down quick. They said, listen, follow her, support her. We're going to bring her back on so we can chop it up more about hip hop and the culture. Guys.
And so, I wish Tiff was going to ask.
I was going to say, where's Tiff? That's what I was going
to
say.
Shout out to Tiff. She wasn't able to be on tonight.
All right. Because I want to meet her too.
She's good.
Okay. I wanted to meet her too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all.
We'll definitely have you back on when she's here. Word.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you so much, Doc. Love you. Appreciate you. Keep being great.
Show some love, y'all. Miss Wallace, the doctor. Show her some love. Show her some love.
That was fun, Joe.
We got to do it like this.
Ha, ha. Okay.
Ha, ha. She had it spicy up in here. Ha. He's definitely a boss. The beautiful.
And we didn't even mention his name either.
Yes, she was dope, man. And she got to come back on.
Yeah,
I know Tiff couldn't be here. Tiff is with us in spirit. Shout out to her. Uncle Kev said, she had a great list. No, that was.
Uncle Kev's an OG too.
Go back up there again. Throw that damn list back up there again. There you go.
Yo, Joe, I'm gonna give y'all a little game too about my uncle. I'm gonna put him on blast low key. See, my uncle used to do like security work with like the original DJ Hollywood. My uncle was out here, tapes and everything. Mm. Like he knows his music and he know his energy.
He do.
If he was out there with the OG, so I can't even sit here and be like,
yeah,
I don't know. But if Unc validated. He been around the real one, so he knows. So
well,
I give him that.
Are y'all ready to laugh? When I say are y'all ready to laugh, shout out to everybody on the Instagram, on the Facebook Live, on the YouTube Live, Afterthought Podcast. Look, we everywhere right now. Share it. Just had an amazing guest, Miss Wallace. And now we're going to transition to get some laughs. This brother, a Georgia native, based out of right now, out of Colorado, but always repping and always moving around. I got to kick it with him when I headlined a dope weekend at 3E's Comedy Club. For those that don't know, Colorado Springs is on the come up. When I say that, it's some black people over there. That's pretty much what I'm getting at. That's getting it. Shout out to my guy, Eric Phillips, over at 3E's Comedy Club. I'm actually going to be back in town the weekend of March 20th. I'm rocking my guy, Crump. That's right. I was going. We putting it together, and this brother right here, like I said, I got to meet him out there. Funny as fuck. Just flat out. You know how they say, just flat out can shoot the ball. He's flat out. Yeah. Funny. Just silly.
Gotcha.
And without any further ado, let's bring him in right now, ladies and gentlemen. Make some noise right now. Show him some Afterthought podcast love for my guy, Mr. Willie Crow, comedian. Willie Crow. Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
Oh. That's good. Hey.
Good, bro.
Y'all know I'm in the house, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
You know, you showed up early. You know, you Southern, so you get here on time. You've been waiting since about 9:25.
You know, I'm ready, man. I'm just ready to go, man. Call me Pistol Pete. I'm going to shoot something. You know what I mean?
Well, let's do it. Yes, our new segment, The Hot Five, coming at you right now, giving comedians from around the country to come on here, not only give you a hot five and lift your day, but we get to interview them after their set and learn more about them and what he's working on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the very funny Mr. Willie Crow, y'all.
Man, like I said, how everybody doing out there today, man? I come in there with 2021. I ain't got nothing but love on my heart and Thanksgiving on my tongue. I know y'all want to know how I got Thanksgiving on my tongue. I ain't just eat no turkey sandwich. I'm just humble and I'm thankful all 2021 because I made it through 2020. And that was a challenge in itself. Like they say, I'm from the deep south. I still remember learning sex education. That was a little different for me. We got taught sex education in sixth grade in Georgia. I know you might think that was a little early, but my seventh grade girls was pregnant. So, you know what I mean? I don't know if the arithmetic was on point or what, but they did right by teaching us. But the thing about me, my daddy had 19 kids. You know what I'm saying? So after listening about contraceptives and condoms and birth control, I went home and I asked my daddy, like, "Dad, they talking about this safe sex stuff in class. What is that?" Say, "Safe sex? Condom?" He said, "Boy, you know what safe sex is? Make sure the front door locked." And that's how I went on about my business. You know what I'm saying? It was just real like that. But for real, 2021, it's coming in real good. I see right now they closing down some of those private owned prisons that Clinton put up back in the 90s. And that's a good thing for the minorities. So minorities, man, y'all give yourself a round of applause. They might stop mass incarcerating us. But I remember in the South, we didn't even call prison. It was called a chain gang. And it was, when motherfuckers went to the chain gang, it came back real big. I'm talking about cock strong, and they ain't talk about it. So you fear prison. But now, these mugs going to prison, they coming back home looking like baby mamas. I said, what the hell? What y'all been in there doing? They got too many AirPods. I seen a post yesterday, they did a TikTok video, and the brothers had Popeyes. That shit going too far, man. That's all I'm saying. Bring back the chain gang. You know what I'm saying? Make it be some penalties for this dumb shit they doing. You know, but like I remember growing up, man, my grandma had psoriasis. A lot of y'all might not know what psoriasis is, so I'm gonna tell you, it's a rash. And my grandma, she was a natural healer. She'd just go get some Columbine lotion or something, put on it, and it cleared right up. I was laying back watching the TV yesterday, and they had a commercial about psoriasis, and they had this new medicine called Antebellum. Look it up. I'm looking at this stuff, and some of the side effects was a sore throat. I said, that ain't too bad. You could take a lozenge, you know, a cough drop. You know, white people say lozenge. I say cough drop, you know, and that ain't too bad. Then they say, it's a chance you might get a little fever. It's all right. Fever might not kill you, but that's okay. But here's the kicker. The last thing they said was, this medicine may lower your immune system's ability to fight off disease. Now, I ain't the smartest motherfucker. But I'm going to give up a rash for AIDS. I'm going to go raise my hand for AIDS. That's what you're telling me. That's a lowering your immune system ability to fight off disease. That sounds like AIDS to me. Only motherfucker beat that was magic. So I'm going to stay away from all of that, man. But with it being Black History Month, I want to touch with my Black folks, get real intimate with y'all right now. Something I like to call the V word. No, I'm not scared to say vagina. I don't call pussy vagina, no way. So that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about vaccines. Yes, this whole vaccine COVID-19 thing they got coming out. Black people, we should be a little skeptical because we remember what happened. I know some of y'all remember what happened in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Tuskegee experiment, where they was giving black men syphilis, talking about they had bad blood. So, of course, when they told me about the vaccine, I was like, no thing. I'm not doing it. You can't pay me enough to do that. And my partner hit me up. He was like, hey, Crow, now they're giving people $1,500 to get vaccinated. I said, hell no, nah, for real. Needless to say, I got $2,600 and I done got vaccinated twice now. And I'm fine. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man. Hey, man. I'm with it, bro, man. That's my high five, man. Thank y'all.
Yo, show us some love.
Yes, dude. That was funny, bro.
You stupid, son. Oh man, hey man, what's that Thanksgiving on my tongue line? Run that line back.
No,
again?
Man, all 2021, I ain't got nothing but love on my heart and Thanksgiving on my tongue. That's it. And it ain't because I ain't no turkey sandwich.
It that's ain't about that. Trip. Yeah, man. Yo, first of all, appreciate the time to come do a high five and kick it with us.
Yeah.
You originally from Georgia.
I'm originally from Georgia. Well, I was born in Jersey.
When we met, you had some East Coast ties. Talk about your ties on the East Coast, man. Where you from?
Man, I was born in Jersey. My daddy smoked a lot of crack. Like I was talking about the crack epidemic. He ended up kidnapping us. And when a crackhead kidnaps you, sometimes he forget where he puts you. And he took us to Georgia, and we ain't never go back to Jersey. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, okay.
So I got family up there. I'm going to give somebody a shout out in Jersey, too, at the end of this, man.
You can shout them out. It's all good. Shout them out.
I want to give a shout out, man, to a young brother, man, with it being Black History Month. He got his own business. He's stationed in New Jersey. He operates in a Middlesex Union in Exit County. His company is called Weed Whackers Landscaping. He's doing snow removal right now, 24 hours in winter. You know what I'm saying?
What's the name of the company?
What happened?
What's the name of the company? I want to
Weed Whackers. WEWHEED Whackers. WHACKERS Landscaping.
Okay.
That owns it is Tamar Robinson.
Okay.
He was nominated in 2019 for the Hustle of the Year. You know, you can see the clips in that magazine. And his slogan is, let me treat your line like my own. Black brother doing his thing, man. Y'all get with him, man.
It's his journey. I love that. So I respect it, man.
Shout out to the whole 201973, man. Jersey, yes, man. Respect, man.
Oh, yeah. Jersey.
How long you been doing comedy?
Yeah.
How'd you get to start? What made you want to get into this comedy thing, bro?
I always been funny, man. And I did an open mic around 7 years ago. And at the show, I met a promoter. He asked me, could I do it? I said, yeah, man, I could do it. And he said, well, I'm bringing comedy to Colorado Springs, and I want you to open up for a comedian from Texas named Eddie B. And I went for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real funny, teachers only type shit.
Yep.
Yeah. But I opened up for him, and the rest is history, man. I just been doing shows. I opened up for J.J. Williamson, Nate Jackson. My biggest show I did, I opened up for Bill Bellamy, and that was bananas.
Yeah.
Jersey. Come full circle.
Yeah.
Bill Bellamy.
Gotta be a player. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So still outside of the highlight,
I just wanted to say, when you come from Georgia, and we know, I don't know what part specifically, and you go to Colorado, and now you're seeing everyone all around the country going to Georgia and the influence that Atlanta is having, like, what are your thoughts on it? And like how I'm feeling about seeing how the city, the state itself is just flourishing and becoming a real hub for just Black arts, Black comedy. And do you feel like, oh, I got to go back home and make sure I touch there? Or do I need to keep what I'm doing here in Colorado moving and then keep spreading it everywhere? Like, what's your thoughts on seeing the movement that Georgia's playing in the whole game overall?
Work.
First and foremost, like for me as a youngster, Georgia was always at the forefront of Black empowerment and Black movement. I don't know if y'all brothers remember me. I remember Freak Neek. It's brothers and sisters still missing from the Freak Neek revolution. So, you know what I mean? That wasn't that new. It was a time we had to wait our turn. And when we got the mic, we ain't let it go yet. So, of course, I love to perform in my hometown and do shows back there. But for the most part, I want to diversify my portfolio. I want to go everywhere, man.
Yeah. For those that don't know, this brother is a comedian, actor, dope writer, visionary. But you also served our country. Also, yes.
Marine veteran. Yeah. I'm a Marine veteran. I did a tour in Iraq in 2006. And I volunteer. You ain't got to thank me. And the shit they put me through, but I'm thankful to be back. You hear what I'm talking about?
Don't even trip.
Y'all think it's a game. Y'all seen Full Metal Jacket. I would have seen that movie before I went to the Marines, I wouldn't have went.
How'd they get you? When you say you volunteered, did they pull up on you in high school?
No, listen. I was in Air Force ROTC. I was supposed to go to the Air Force, but I was smoking weed. So when I got to the MEP station, I popped hot, and they told me I was disqualified. So I thought that was the end of the world. The Marine recruiters, they got my ASVAB score, and they was like, man, we ain't worried about none of that. You can take two of these, and we can get you out of here tomorrow. What you want to do? So I was like, let's go. I went in open contract. I didn't even know my MOS until like 2 weeks out of basic training. And they picked up motor transport for me. And come to find out, that was the deadliest job at the time in Iraq. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Yeah, they just balled me up and threw me in the trash can.
Wow. So, I mean, being out there, being away from home, I mean, I'm sure you were, you know, hella funny with this. You know, how was that? Were you always, did you find your comedy, you know, through serving your time in the military, you know, in the Marines?
Listen, I would guess I was a late bloomer, man, because growing up, I was influenced by Eddie Murphy and Bernie Mac, but I never knew I could have aspirations to do that. No one ever told me, hey, you can do that too, young man. So it was just so foreign to me. I just liked comedy. But then after watching the Dave Chappelle show and seeing what he meant to comedy and how he was getting his point of field calls, that inspired me to want to do it. And I was like, man, I can do that. You know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
Yo, one thing, Willie, Joe knows what I always ask our favorite. We always ask our comedians to do this. So I got to ask you this right now. You on the bill right now. I want you to give me your top five comedians, it could be past, it could be present, that you want to be on that marquee with.
Give me Bernie Mac. Give me Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a Kevin Hart. Give me a Mike Epps and a Richard Pryor.
Now, you're missing a female.
I got to have a female?
You don't have to, but you're going to get slack after the show if you don't say one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, give me. Why you ain't throw a female in there?
Yeah. What's my girl name? Like Linnaeus, the old tiger lady. She got a little hair.
You mean Lunel?
Lunel?
Lunel.
Lunel.
Give me Lunel.
Lunel? Lunel?
Okay. 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 I like that.
I like
now
that.
Now, my question is, who's hosting? Who's hosting that, and who's closing?
My show?
Yep. You got Bernie Mac.
I'm going to close it. I'm going to close it.
You going to close it?
I'm going to close it. They came to
I
see me.
That.
They came to see me. Yeah.
That's why I fucked with you.
I like it. Let me say something, Willie. I respect that. Because
I've never heard a comedian say they closing the show.
Yeah.
He said, nigga, what the
I
fuck?
Like that energy.
I'm hiring them.
Nah, you said it with his old chest. He's like, you damn right I'm on the show. I respect it, bro. I respect
appreciate
it. A lot
it,
of people would be like, I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's
you
my
know,
time.
Following this person.
It's my time, man.
I feel it.
They
I
heard
feel it.
Me.
I feel it.
Yo, so let's talk about some lows in comedy. You know, you've shared who you've opened up for. You even work with Tony Roberts, who's by far hilarious. Yep. Name a time in comedy shit wasn't popping for you. And when I say that, any type of story or maybe a night you bombed.
Listen,
nigga, I'm quitting this shit.
I didn't think I was gonna quit, but I felt this big. You feel the man? The Bill Bellamy joint was a smash. I thought that was my coming out party. Everybody know Willie Crow, Willie Crow, Willie Crow. And then I found out Joe Torre and what's the other cat name? Joe Torre and Michael Collier. They was coming to town, right? So I thought I was just going to go be a spectator. I'm thinking I'm just going to see comedy. So 5 minutes before I get to the venue, the promoter called me and like, hey, we need you to do a set. I'm like, oh man, let's do it. So I jump out the car. I meet him in the lobby. He said, hey, you want to go up to the hotel room? This is my first time, like VIP. Damn, I done did my damn show. Now I get to go to the hotel room. So I see Joe Torre, and I'm already infatuated because I'm looking at him like he's Chicago from Poetic Justice. Yeah. Michael Talia, he saw the greenness on me, and he was just so nervous somebody was gonna pull out a bag of coke and catch him on tape or something. So he was really creeping me out. I was like, man, I don't do no drugs. Ain't nobody got no cocaine. Chill. You know what I'm saying? So all this going on, and now the show is gonna go on. It's a whole bunch of people trying to get seated. It's crazy. We don't know what's going on. Oh man, let me plug in my PC. They say I'm running low, dog.
It's all good. I will say this. You know, you gotta be, you know, in this climate now with everything, the COVID, you know what I'm saying, and everything, you know, I feel like comedy is changing. You know what I'm saying? And if, you know, we got the virtual shit, you know, we got the podcast, what have you. We got shows coming back. And, you know, when I went to Colorado, what was dope about it was that it was thriving still. You know, I know, you know, when people think Colorado, you think Denver first. You think, you know, and Willie, you know, you can relate to this. You know, first time in Denver, you know, I'm connecting my flight. And I talked about this at the show. People that don't know in Denver, they're known for a lot of weird shit. Middle America, I don't know if it's like because you're not, you know, you're in the middle of the map, Midwest or close to the West, you're not by water, you start doing weird shit. But if you've ever been to Denver, Denver, Colorado Airport, then you've seen that giant blue horse with the red glaring eyes. The shit is demonistic. It looked like something.
Yeah, it looked like some Civil War stuff. It looked Civil War. Yeah.
And I was saying, I was like, yo, they got some, it's different. The artwork is even different at the airport. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. So with that being said, what you've been doing to stay sharp with the pandemic and stuff slowly, you know, closing and opening back up, what you've been doing to stay sharp as a comedian, as a writer?
3E's Comedy Club is just opened like 6 months ago, and it's offering a great space for artists, comedians to come and write and mingle with each other and keep the whole thing going. You know what I mean? So I've been doing that. I've been writing, like I work 40 hours a week. So just to get me through the job, I'm always writing. I keep my little book with me. Willie Grow, I'm doing my thing. And the skits, I got into the skits because I was against doing the skits. I was like, I'm a comedian. I want the world to see me. Because that's the rush, getting in front of people. Like anybody could hide behind a camera. But yeah. Getting into the skits and producing my own little shows and stuff like that's been fun, and it's been educational too.
I will say this, you know, I was there in Colorado Springs for a weekend, and I met this brother the first night I got into Colorado. That was a Thursday night, and we were kicking it. And I'm not a big skit guy. I'm not at all. So he was just like, yo, you want to do a skit while you're out here? And I was like, hell yeah. And when I say this brother's professional, put together, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna be here tomorrow, be ready, nigga. Look, I'm gonna call you. You know, country nigga say, I'm gonna call you, don't worry about it, but when I call you, bring your ass downstairs. and what's your homeboy's name? I don't want
to
leave,
man, out. Give a shout out to Don Bridges Comedy, Luke, yes, Stan, and Tony Don,
what up, man? Crazy. Listen, we had this whole skit. It's on our Facebook page. Just go to Willie Crow's Facebook page and watch it. It's hilarious. I'm playing an Uber driver in town for the weekend, and pretty much in between shows, I'm picking up these Uber shits. So, as I'm saying that to the camera, I see this motherfucker and his man. His whole top half of his body is painted in red and blue, like he don't know which party he want to root for, Democratic or the Republican. And it was funny because, you know, it was one of those skits. You gotta go to Willie's page, Willie Crow on Facebook. Type it in, follow him, support what this brother's doing. He's got some shit coming up. Yeah. What you got coming up in 2021 for Willie Crow, man?
Hey, next weekend I got a show at Club Tilt. It's called Love to Laugh Comedy Show. I'm gonna be hosting. We got an amazing lineup that's gonna be brought to you by Hood Man University at Club Tilt, 3477 Astrodome Boulevard, Colorado Springs. And we back, man. We back.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, we are back. So shout out to you. Shout out to everything. You know, I'm glad I was able to meet you out there and connect as a comedian, as a brother. So, you know, I always got you. And I'm glad I was able to get you on here so you could talk your shit, do your high five. And I don't know. I feel like we might have to find a spot for you. You know what I'm saying? Just to come on here, talk some shit. You know,
man, I'm ready, man. Whatever you need, man.
Got Jack.
Joe, people Willie, getting their hair done in the back. I got contacts. Whatever you need, man.
I was about to say, you got a lot of activity going on behind you, bro. Like,
you see the door opening.
You moving
expeditiously.
I know.
Right? Gotta hustle, man. You gotta hustle. All right.
I see. I wanted to ask you, where are a couple of different cities or stages that you thought about or dream like, yo, I gotta be here, like I gotta get here and do this. Like, is there any places, cities, stages where you like
California?
You know, I gotta
California.
Okay.
California, LA to be specific. I'm ready for that, gotcha. Man. I wanna be Hollywood, man. So, if I gotta sacrifice something, you know what I'm saying? I gotta go. I'm ready to go.
Listen, easy, because they'll be watching, be like, really?
They will. Yeah. They gonna be like,
I do a goat. Lamb top sing along.
Listen, they gonna do more than that. All right, slow down.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man, but no, thank you, brother, for
that's
coming on.
Up, man, that's
appreciate
up.
You. Be well. You know, I'm gonna throw the IG up there. Book this man. I mean, if you in Georgia, you in the Midwest, yeah. West Coast,
anywhere.
Book this motherfucker, Willie Crow. He travels. He ain't tripping. You know, that's it. Need to be on the shirt. I ain't tripping.
Yeah.
But thank you, bro. Thank you for coming through. Appreciate you, homie. One love.
Thank
bro.
You, man. Thanks for having me, man. Y'all be blessed. I love what y'all doing.
Appreciate you, Willie. Man.
I'm gonna share it everywhere. Keep it going, baby. I love it.
Thank Definitely. You, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, my brother. Baby.
That's my guy, Willie Crow.
Yo.
Give him his flowers. Give him his flowers. Willie Walker, a.k.a. Willie Crow. That's his full government. We're gonna follow him. Comedian, actor, they throwing it up there. Follow him.
Yes,
dope,
sir.
Man. Yeah. Funny as fuck. When I say you, like that's a, just naturally. You know, I got a... You know what he said? Love on my heart and Thanksgiving on my tongue.
And that is my shit. That had me.
Did I say it right? I said it right? Okay.
That had me. That had me, yo. I ain't gonna lie.
You know how it is, man. This is how we doing it, man. Afterthought Podcast. We got to get into the pro tip, Jay. What's up?
Yes, we do.
You ready?
Yes, we
do. Are you ready?
I'm extremely ready. I'm extremely ready for this. And it kind of has to do with one of my favorite quotes, being how it's Black History Month. Marcus Garvey said this: "A people without knowledge of its past is like a tree without roots." A people without knowledge of its past is like a tree with no roots. I just wanted to say, based on the guests that we had, and it kind of fits with everything that they talked about and what we've been talking about even from the beginning of the show, we all owe it to ourselves to make sure that we take some time as we continue to sit down, kind of figure out what our next move may be, still in this like in-between stage of this pandemic time, to take a time to reflect, not look back and dwell, but reflect, take some time to learn, understand, look at what we did right, look what we did wrong, make an assessment, pick up something that we may not have known before to read, a different documentary to watch. Like Doc said it about like telling her students to write something down for, you know, first 5 minutes, like, because we know, like, we need to know where we've come from. Mm-hmm. Like, if we don't know, then there's no foundation. That's what it's saying. We don't know, there's no foundation. We owe it to ourselves to maintain that and to provide a foundation for those coming after us and to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I saw you did something really dope, Joe. You put it on your Facebook. I don't know if you want to talk about it. But I think this is that's a phenomenal thing about talking about foundations and how we want to continue to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. So,
are you talking about the Viola Davis? Are you talking about the Viola Davis? No.
No.
You got to throw me another alley. Well, I will say this. Let me just say that. I posted that.
What you just signed up for? It's what you just signed up for.
Oh, yes. I got you. But great segue for, I think it definitely ties into more so diversity and opportunity. When you look at that reflection period too. When I say that, it's Black History Month. And I want to be mindful of what I'm posting more so. As I grow in my career, I want to be more inspirational and things to touch you in a way, not physically touch you, but stuff that makes you think. The Viola Davis Emmy speech from 2015, I posted. It was about diversity and opportunity and about paving the way. And she was talking about, you know, women, Black women that came before her and paved the way. And I think that's what we got to continue to do as a culture. We got to start laying down better foundations. And I think that ties into what JP says, laying down better foundations on how we treat each other in this business, whether we're comedians, whether we're producers, we're on a podcast. I think we need to start coming together and, you know, it can sound cliche and uniting, but I think as a culture, we're a bad fucking force when we come together, you know? And I think laying that foundation. Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, that's a word. I'm just saying I'm with you, Joe. When we combine our powers, like we really can't be stopped. Like if we really think about it. And that's part of the reason why for another discussion is kind of like, you know, they want to keep us all scattered. They want to give us a little bit of information here, little bit of information there. Why you gotta always worry about yourself and not worry about what's happening amongst the community and amongst the group.
I want to segue to this because you're going to be vital in this, and I mean this. I'm not just saying this because we work together. You know, God puts things in front of you, whether it's information, whether it's people around you. It's really what you do with it. And I'm learning, you know, as I grow in my journey, I'm more than just here to make people laugh. I think that's one of my strong suits in this game. Shout out to Bob Sumner coming on last week and chopping it up with us about comedy and character and talent. And I feel like I'm talented more than just on the stage. And I just recently signed up for to become a realtor. That's right. Give me about 2 months, and this melanin bad boy of comedy will be selling property. I mean, I got to pass the test, but I'm taking the right steps. Notice I said I'm taking the right steps in the direction. And here's the most important piece, Jay. The reason why I did that. Let me just give you the reason why I'm doing it.
Talk to
one, it's people don't know. Real estate has always been in my family. There's people that definitely are in real estate. One, my grandparents got RIP, my grandfather, Grandpa Donald, you know, having two brownstones in Harlem, my grandmother, you know, taking them to the next level. You know, my aunt owns property, you know, my mom, everybody in some rights own property, my family down south. So I took this as an opportunity, being that we're in the pandemic. There's a lot you could be learning, and a lot has changed in terms of learning skills right now, especially during the pandemic. So I signed up for Real Estate Express, and it's not an accelerated program. I know it sounds like it's something quick, but it's actually you're taking your 139 hours and getting you prepared for the exam that they're going to help you pass. So I'm paying about $200-$300 to prepare myself in these courses to not only sell property, because it's not about just property. I want to have the freedom as a Black creative, as somebody that emails clubs every day. I can't wait until I get my license, because one of the first things I'm doing, and you can quote me now, I'm going to have a space in the West Coast and I'm going to have a space in the East Coast that is going to be my property to produce content. And I said, you got to really be a chess player in this game. You got to own something. And forget about just going and buying it. How about having the license to have the right to have all these properties and help? You need an event space. Boom, I got a gallery. We need an Airbnb. We coming in town for a comedy show. We good. So I want to marry what I'm doing with real estate. And you never know, me being on stage every night, I'm in front of new clients. So, you know, at the end of the day, Jay, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you. I might need you to come into this world, Jay. I don't know, Jay. I was saying, Jay, I don't know. You might want to jump in here with me, this realtor lane. You know what I'm saying? And
I want to first things first say, in that lane and in that spectrum, there's two people I'm going to connect you with outside. But I want to give a shout out to one of my kids who I used to coach, who's already completed what you've done and is now selling and investing properties
in land too.
The greater Orlando, Florida area. I want to give a major shout out to my guy, Keneal Warner. And
what up, homie?
And when we talk about paying it forward, it's a beautiful thing when we talk about like someone who I used to coach, and now he's calling me like, coach, I got these properties. What should I do with them? Or exactly. I'm looking to do this. How would I go about doing it? So what advice or perspective do you have for it? You know, and now he's doing it right now. And it's a young brother in his 20s in a market where they're not used to seeing people that look like us dominate and dictate what it is that they're doing. It's an absolute blessing.
Controlling the narrative. Shout out to that young king. Yeah. Shout out to that young king. Because that's what I'm doing.
Huge shout out to Camille. Yep. Huge shout out to my frat brother, my young boy, Phil Reynolds. He's doing it big here in New York City too. Like, there's a lot of people who are really making who are really putting an imprint into the game, Joe.
Facts.
And then I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we continue to show them the love.
Of course.
If you have any questions, you know, holler at me. And I'm telling you, Joe,
I'm gonna
you up with them aside so that this way we could do that. But to your point too, it's a byproduct of what it is that we know. When we talk about our parents understanding property, our grandparents, think about what you just said. And I have a similar experience too in East Harlem. Like our grandparents to be visionaries, to understand that property ownership mattered before this was even something that was discussed. Like the fact that my grandparents saw that and your grandparents saw that.
And when that I say does, he saw that, wait, when I say he saw that, I'm gonna throw it right back to you. Quick, this is a quick tap alley. He bought them, both of them brownstones back in 1950, 1960. For $25,000 cash. That's all I'm gonna say. They're worth millions now. So, got it. To your point.
And to that point, my grandfather, an immigrant from Costa Rica, came here, seven kids, came here, said, look, I see what we could do here. Work. When the opportunity presented itself, they said, we're not gonna just continue to rent. Let's have a part of this. And for the better of 40 plus years, I can sit here and say, we now are in a place and space that, and that provided so much for my parents, for our parents, for our aunts and uncles to understand the importance of doing it and taking that risk. And with that being said, I want to highlight, like I've always been doing with the bakery, today is National Carrot Cake Day. Shout to Lloyd's Carrot Cake. We will be having our representatives on next week, Joe, if we can. They ready to talk about everything. And I want them to explain, and you'll hear more about it. But it was the desire to take the risk to say, I have something special, and to have the vision that Joe was talking about.
Yep.
And say, we're going to do this here. And to start from a storefront with one recipe to now being world renowned. Wendy Williams was talking about it today on her show. And she just had a movie. So, you know, everyone's going to be talking about it, which is so dope.
Right.
But
how'd you feel about the movie? Did you see it?
Oh, I watched it. Did you watch it?
I did. It was,
okay.
I'm watching a little bit. I will say this. It has me thinking of all of Wendy Williams' classic interviews. Let's start with that. before we go into breaking down, you know, that, I feel like some of our most classic interviews, when Tretch called the radio station and cursed her out, when Wendy Williams, when she did the Whitney Houston phone interview, that was classic. Whitney was that was a priceless interview. And of course, you know, she went at it with Method Man and people called the station, but now Wendy was vital, man. And I feel like, you know, I just didn't know it was coming out though. I'm not even going front. I didn't know that documentary dream was coming up.
The documentary, I think, was really good. And to my uncle, like my uncle here, he'll tell you too. And I say my uncle was, he knew all of, he was in the mix and knew these people. Like, I remember as a kid, you remember this too, Joe, like when Wendy first was on the radio with like Kenny Spiderweb and Jeff Fox. Now we may be, we not old. Don't get me wrong. Joe and I not old. But we kind of young OGs in the city. Like there was a time when 98.7 Kiss FM was the station, and WBLS. We ain't Hot 97 yet playing rap.
We have no Breakfast Club. We have none of that.
We have no forget power. We ain't have we Hot 97 was just becoming.
We had Angie Martinez though. We had Angie Martinez.
We ain't Angie till after Wendy.
You're right. You're talking. Yeah, talking Wendy.
Yeah, okay. Flex used to be doing different sets on BLS. We had Red Alert. Shout to Uncle Red, the OG.
Yep.
Chuck, chill out.
We had Lisa Salters on late night with Street Soldiers.
No, Lisa Evers.
Lisa Evers was on with the Street Evers, Soldiers.
Hot 97. That was when Ed Lovin got to.
K Slade was on late night at that time.
Oh yeah.
But that was early K Slade.
Yeah, but you know it was a different era of how we received things, and I appreciated her telling her story somewhat because it kind of took me back to a time when we really had to listen to the radio for like all the stuff, like. Yeah. The last big moment, and now radio seems so obsolete.
They do.
Like, and when you're in the car, you don't really listen to the radio, like music radio stations. You rather listen to a podcast. You got the Bluetooth plugged in, so you're hearing whatever album you want to hear.
I don't know what your preference is, Jay, but I know when I'm in the car and I'm driving, and I've been traveling a lot, and I'm always in a rental, or I'm always in the brand new whip just hopped in. I'm going to say this. I like my R&B. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? All that. When I listen to my rap, it's like when I'm heading to a show. Like, I'm like getting dressed, I'm driving to the show. Then I put the rap on. But if I'm cruising, I need my relaxed vibe. That's just my mentality.
You know what I miss, Joe? I miss that CD 101.9.
Wow. That cool. That's that elevator music.
Little Kenny G, Dave Cos, Boney James, The cool shit. You know when you had to slow it down, romantic time, you know.
That was the Where Your Mama At music. Where Your Mama At.
Yes. My goodness.
Like Mr. Willie is downstairs. Mr. Willie Crow is downstairs. Tell her to come on down.
Depending on how the day went at work with my parents was the determining factor of what radio station was on in the car ride coming home from my grandmother's house.
That's a fact, though.
So, you know, when God rest his soul, but with my pops, you know, he would listen. It would be like, if it was cool, he got on the sports talk. So he got on WFAN, Mike and the Mad Dog, throwbacks. And then, they always go 10-10 wins for the traffic.
Of course, 10-10 wins. That shit is the worst. Every 10 for the 10 to 50 minutes of the hour, they give you the weather and the traffic. God damn.
Every 20-something minutes, we give you the world. Every 22 minutes, we give you the world. Traffic and weather on the ones. I remember. They had it all the time. That's my mom, have a good day. Kiss FM, BLS, let's go. My mother don't feel like being bothered. CD 101.9, don't push the button. That's it.
Don't push it. It's time for
the year. Do not change the station. I want to hear no news.
I got to give a shout out to our sister Tiff. She's good. Yes. A lot of folks was asking, where's Tiff? First of all, we on the show too, y'all. First of all,
we are. Oh, but yo, you know what though?
I said that because I know we missed him. What you say?
Ain't that some bullshit? We on the show too, but they missing that too, and I get it. I know, we all missing
that's,
it.
That's good energy. You know what I'm saying? She'll be back with us. I will give you a sneak peek. We got a special guest coming on next week. We got a live performance and an interview from my brother, my Boston brother, Mr. Corey Hales has some new music out. He's coming on to talk to us. Super talented, you know, going live music, live musician with the guitar, straight vocals with it. You know, he's been on my web series. He's been on, you know, my other platforms, and he's coming on the podcast to talk about his new EP he got coming out. So real soulful, boy. Let me tell you something. Corey Hales is that dude. That's that dude.
That's right.
Shout out to him. But man, this has been our time. I gotta go watch the Phoenix. I gotta go check the Phoenix score because I know that it's probably like third quarter going into the fourth quarter. But
listen. I know you rooting for the Bucks. Best of luck to you and the fam. Cause you know, sir. I know if the Bucks win that Super Bowl, y'all going to be lit. Head.
Tampa Bay, we gonna bring this dub home for the fam. Let's go. You know how to vibe.
I just hope they have a good game. We gotta talk about something crazy because I just saw a video played on ESPN on E60 about black players who used to be in the NFL not getting compensated fairly for head and concussion issues based on race. And there was a whole thing about how retired black players and retired white players aren't necessarily getting the same treatment. And I'm going to look into it some more. We're going to dive into that. We also going next week dive into, hopefully, when Tiff is back, some of these challenges, because it was going down in the after DM.
Like, ain't you know, in the group bullshit chat with Tiff. We're going to talk about these goddamn challenges. That's a great segue for her to come back. We ain't some bullshit with Tiff. We're gonna talk about all the challenges.
We're gonna dive into that because we had some differing opinions in the afterthought group text, which I love. And y'all gonna see them, hear them, tell us what y'all think. But I think it's all was productive and constructive. And as long as we're able to keep having productive and constructive discussions, we are gonna always continue to be great, man.
I call them fellowship in my house.
Fellowship, I like that. You know, I like you that.
We having fellowship. We gotta have positive fellowship.
We need that's what to
culture for. So, shout out to Shawnee Wallace for coming on earlier. My sister, our queen. Follow her and my guy Willie Pro. Appreciate y'all. This was dope. Another dope episode. By the way, you can go watch this episode on YouTube Live. It'll be up tomorrow on Anchor FM. That means you can stream it on all platforms. You can listen to it while you work out, whatever you're doing, you cooking, whatever. This is what we do each and every Wednesday here on Facebook Live, Twitter, and YouTube, the Afterthought Podcast with my guy JP and myself.
You already know what it is.
And Tatanto.
Go get that come up merch. Go get that Lloyd's Carrot Cake merch. You already know what it is, man.
You already know. And we got to do a drop when I come back from the West Coast. I'm leaving to the West Coast for a month. Some shows, recharge, and get right back to it. So when I come back, we got to do an episode. We got to do a review at the bakery. So we're going to talk.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that, too. We are going to have, I will promise you this. We are going to have Loka and Brandon Adams. Legacy of Betty and Lloyd, my beloved brother and sister, come on, talk about this. Talk about everything. We're gonna line the taste test.
I need that in an extra large, by the way, because that's fire.
I got you, Joe. No worries. So, and support everybody's merch.
Keep supporting.
Stay tuned. We got some amazing things coming up, man. Yes, we just thank y'all for rocking with us.
Keep supporting. If you want to support, there's the info on the screen. If you're listening, go to anchor.fm/the Afterthought Podcast/support. I'm going to say it again. anchor.fm/the Afterthought Podcast, one word, /support. You can make a monthly donation of $1, $2, Shout out to Renee Nelson, one of our subscribers. She just tapped in a few minutes ago. Yeah, support the show.
Hey,
we can keep this going. 2021, we appreciate you. We will see y'all next week. Love God, love yourself, and love others. That's from my guy, Shula King. So I had to adopt that to the show. I'll see y'all later.
Big
peace. Back.